Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. For whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. We ask you to help us understand the truths that we have here. We also pray, Lord, that we can understand your character better and better. Help us to see your mercy and your graciousness and your kindness, even to those who do not deserve it. Can we pray, Lord, your blessing upon each one of us as we are gathered in Jesus' name to study and hear your word? Give us listening ears. Give us an understanding heart so that we might believe your word, that we might trust in your Son, that we might glorify your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine if someone asked you, "Would you take care of my possessions? Would you manage these things for me?" And if it was just a small thing, you might say, "Well, that's no big deal, easy enough." But if it was a large responsibility, you might say, "Oh, do I have time? Do I have the capability? I don't know if I want to be responsible for that which belongs to another." Imagine if you said, "Well, okay, I'm in charge of someone else's property, their possessions, and here's an opportunity for a short-term investment. And in the short term, it's going to do really, really well. But in the long term, it's going to be awful." What would you do? You'd either make decisions saying, "I'll invest for the short term." You don't always know what's going to happen, but when it's a good time to take stock out or whatever the case may be, or to sell, you say, "You know what, now's the time to sell." And you want to make a good investment with those things that have been entrusted to you. And you might be thinking, "Well, Pastor, not many people have come up to me saying, 'I've got $1 million, do you want to take care of it for me?'" But you know what? God has entrusted to us our possessions, our talents, our gifts, our wealth. And our possessions are not wrong in and of themselves. But we're called to remember that our possessions ultimately are God's possessions. He's entrusted them to us. He's asked us to take care of them. And it applies to our husband or wife. It applies to our children. It applies to our home, our cars. If you have boats, your boats and other toys. They're not wrong in and of themselves, but those possessions can quickly and easily take over our lives. When we lived in Brazil, we lived in a house that was not fancy. It was actually two smaller houses, and then they joined the two smaller houses together by making a huge living room. And so space-wise, it looked like it was spacious, and when you filled it up with Bible school kids, and then if you did a Brazilian invitation, you invite a few people. We invited our youth group one time, and of course, each of them brought a couple other people. So for an event that we expected about 20, we had 65, and we were really grateful for that space. But I thought, just as I saw some people's homes that were very, very small. And my parents came down to visit us one time, and my mom would always feel sorry for everyone. Oh, I feel sorry for them. They have such a small house. They don't have very much. And as I saw some of their situations, I thought, you know what? Just think how easy it would be to clean a house that small. Oh, I have to do my house cleaning today. Half an hour later, okay, I'm done. Let's do the next thing. Or I have to mow the lawn. Okay, after 15 minutes, it's done. Let's move on to the next thing. There are some benefits of having less, having smaller. But of course, the most important thing is having a contentment. Enjoying what God has given us, but not letting those things take over our lives, or not letting those things tempt us to misuse them for either the evil of and the hurt of other people, or the hurt and misuse that would hurt us as well. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus giving a parable of an unrighteous steward or an unrighteous manager. And as we look at this passage, sometimes it's hard. It's like, well, wait a second now. This guy was doing bad things, and he's commended. But remember, he wasn't commended for doing bad things. He lost his responsibility for his mishandling the things with which he was entrusted. But he made a wise decision when he found that information out. Again, there's not a commending of that which is evil or wrong, but there's a commending of that which was wise in that situation and how he responded to that, and certainly application that Jesus applies to his disciples as well. So we see in the first part of this passage, verses 1 through the first part of verse 8, Jesus tells a parable of an unrighteous steward. We see in 1 and 2, the steward's day of reckoning had come. I've heard, it's been reported, it's in the passive, someone has told on you, you're misusing your responsibility. A steward is someone who doesn't own the things. The steward or a manager is one who's called to take care of that which belongs to another. He or she is not to use them as if they were their own, because they're not. Who is a steward? Anyone. Every one of us would be stewards of God's gracious gifts that we can enjoy for ourselves, enjoy for our family, but also use in the work of his kingdom. In verse 3, we see the steward's dilemma. He knew he was losing his stewardship or the management of all that had been entrusted to him. And basically, he had to bring in the books. Let's go over the numbers. Let's see what you've been doing. The panic sets in because he knows what he's been doing. He knows how he's been using that property and those possessions. And he thinks to himself, he realizes he's losing his source of income. He says to himself, I'm not able to dig. He's not strong enough to dig. He said, I'm too ashamed to beg. What am I going to do? And then he has an idea. We don't see the idea until it's fleshed out in just a little bit here. But we see that he has an idea. This is what I can do. This is what I can do to help on both sides. On the one side, I have the creditors, the debtors to whom things have been loaned. And on the other side, I have my Lord or my master who's going to call me to account. What can I do? What can I do? That's his dilemma. His decision we see in verses 4 through the first part of verse 8. And he decided to settle the accounts in the borrower's benefit. So you owe me a certain amount. You owe my master a certain amount. You owe less right now. Fill that out write it down in your own handwriting. He said, do it quickly. He knew that people would find out what he was doing. He knew that eventually it would come to light, but he was doing it quickly. Again, this is not the part that Jesus was commending, that he's not honest with the books. In the first, it was going from 100, the NIV has gallons, 100 gallons to 400. It's a certain amount in Greek, and it's down to 50% of that, a 50% reduction. Imagine if you have a credit card and your creditor wrote to you and said, you know what, we'd like to reduce what you owe by half. And you know what, if you owe zero, that's not as good a news. The good news is you don't owe any in the first place. But if you owe a lot and you're struggling to pay off that debt, and then you're told, cut it in half, what would you think about that company? Oh, that's a good company. I like them. I'm going to recommend them to others. The debtors were hearing the representative from the master come and say, how much do you owe? Cut it in half. What are they going to be thinking? They're not going to be thinking, oh, the steward is so nice, because it's not his money to be dealing with. But they're going to think, what a gracious master to reduce my debt in half. From 800 gallons of oil to 400. The next is, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat. Make it 800. Not quite the same proportion, but a 20% reduction is still pretty good. He settled those debts or made arrangements for those debts to be settled for the borrower's benefit. They got something out of the deal. They'll remember this man. They'll also think highly of the master and think of how gracious he was, how kind he was in this situation. So it was for the debtor's benefit, but he also was doing this, and it was for the master's reputation. Again, they would be seeing this as the master being kind and generous and gracious, which indeed he was. But we see that he commended the steward. He praised the unrighteous steward. Again, Jesus recognizing here what he was doing was not good in the first place. That's why he was losing his position. He was called to care for that which belonged to someone else. But when he found out that he was losing that opportunity, that position, that job, he said, I'm going to do something that will put me on the good side of these people over here and also on my master over on this side. Jesus praised the unrighteous steward. He said, because he acted shrewdly, he acted in a wise and in a well-thought-out way. Again, Jesus is not saying he's not saying he's an honest person, but he's saying he acted shrewdly in this situation. And then Jesus gives this application from the parable in the second part of verse 8 and verse 9. He compares two people, the sons of this age and the sons of light. Those who are not Christians in this world and those who are Christians in this world, they're compared and they're contrasted in the situation. And he declares the sons of this age, the sons of this world, literally the sons of this eon, they're more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the sons of light are in dealing with the sons of this age. And there's a challenge. Taking that idea of that shrewdness, being careful and wise in the use of our possessions, in the use of our wealth, in the use of our time. And Jesus' application is make friends by means of unrighteous wealth, unrighteous mammon in some translations. Make friends with your wealth. And I'm not saying it's not in the sense of you're buying the friendship of others, but you have something and you use it for the kingdom of God. I read a book many years ago about a young man who, when he turned 19, his father gave him a yacht. And I know that's probably not true of most of us here. Raise your hand if when you got to be 19, you got a yacht from your dad and mom. Probably not the case, but anyway, a very wealthy family. And this young man liked to race. And so when he got it, he described in his book, he said, I was thinking of all the races I could be involved in and how many races I could win and what I could do. And his family was a Christian family, and his father said to his son, you know, I thought you could invite some of the young people from your Sunday school class. Take them on some trips on your yacht, not to other countries, but just to go out and to go on the ocean. And this, the recipient of the gift said he felt so guilty. He said, my first thought was, how it's going to be so good for me. And I can win these races and this fame and this honor for me. And he said, but I neglected to realize that everything I have is God's. And either these things can be idols for me, or they can be tools that I can use to further God's kingdom. Jesus challenges us to make friends by means of wealth. When we have a rummage sale and give toward missions, some part of us might say, but you know, we could use the money here, couldn't we? But I appreciate the focus on we need to have opportunities and help opportunities for people to hear the good news about Jesus, for people to have the Bible translated into their own mother tongue, the language of their heart. We need to be praying for those who already have gone representing us in other congregations. And that need, where there's truly such a great need, it is a worthy cause, isn't it? For our prayers, for our own financial giving, maybe for our going ourselves, as the Lord might lead and call. He says, make friends by means of worldly wealth or unrighteous mammon, unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they will receive you. We don't know how God will use our gifts, our time, our sacrifices, the possessions that we have as we share with other people. We don't know how God will use that to open up a door for the gospel. I may have shared this illustration before, but I struggled as a Domino's pizza delivery guy when I was in college. I thought, I'm seeing so many people. I'm seeing people every day, like multiple times. And I struggled with, am I supposed to share the gospel with every one of these people? Because I thought I'd get in trouble with my boss if I'm delayed. And just all those opportunities. And I talked to a father of a Christian friend, and he said, you know what? Not with everyone. But he said, there might be a clear opportunity sometimes where you say, you know what, I really think the Lord would have me say something in this situation. There's one situation I didn't use it to preach, but it was really bad weather and the streets were full of water and the lights were out in an apartment building, and I was able to get there. And the people who were receiving the pizza laughed. They said, we weren't expecting the pizza, not in this kind of weather. But when we do something, especially that's unexpected, to show kindness to people who aren't kind to us, forgiveness to people that don't deserve our forgiveness, sometimes it can open their hearts to hearing what we have to say about Jesus. Well, wait a second. Why would you be kind to me? Why would you do something like that? Why would you forgive me after I hurt you so badly? And remember, when they're asking questions, then we have a chance. We have an opportunity. Again, I'm not saying we're going to preach the gospel to everyone every time someone says, oh, you forgave me, thank you for that. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. But there will be some times that as we have an opportunity to show God's love to people, that there will be that opportunity as people say, you know, you've got a peace in your life that I don't have. What's the deal? Are you ready for those opportunities? That's part of the reason God has given us the wealth and the resources, the time and the talents that he's given to us. Not just for us to serve our families, but not just for our families, to serve other people as well, to serve our neighbors, to help in those ways. And then verses 10 through 13, Jesus calls you to manage that which does not truly belong to you until you receive that which is truly your own. And this is what seems like the crazy thing. You mean the things I have right now are not really mine? He's entrusted to us these things. He's given you your wonderful family, your children, your husband or wife. They're a blessing. I know there are problems and challenges in any relationship, but they are a blessing to each one of us. If you hold on to your kids too tightly when they turn 18, no, I don't want them to leave. Usually at 18, that's when the kids are saying, quicker I get out of here, the better. And I know sometimes some of the parents are saying, the quicker he or she leaves, the better too. But sometimes, especially the first one, maybe the last one, you say, okay, keep going. First one, you say, oh, it's hard to have the kids fly out of that nest one little birdie at a time. You can't hang on to them too tightly, can you? You can't hang on to your material blessings too tightly, because ultimately they're God's, entrusted to you, given to you to take care of, to manage for His glory, for His sake, for His kingdom. We're told by Jesus in verse 10 that you're tested now with what you've been given. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is faithful in a very little thing in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. A pastor talking about discipleship talked about meeting together with the men of his congregation, and with each of the men that expressed a willingness and an interest to be discipled by the pastor, he said, I'd give them a little task to do. Would you make a copy of this key and bring it back to me next week? Oh, well, pastor, I forgot about that. Well, I'll do it next week. And then it's forgotten about again. And he said, I can see sometimes how serious these men were about wanting to grow in their relationship with the Lord by how they handled the little responsibilities. We're tested now with what we've got. Remember that the stewardship is not a managing of what belongs to us, but what belongs to another. And Jesus warns us in verse 13 that either God will be your master, or your material wealth will master you. He said, no one can serve God and money or wealth. In the NIV, it has money with a capital M. Personification of something that's not a person, but just that idea of something that becomes a master in our life. Each of us are called to various vocations in life. Each of us have opportunities where we can share God's love, we can demonstrate God's mercy and kindness to others in our lives, in our places of work. In our family, we have the husband and wife. We also have in the family the parents and children. We also have maybe the more challenging area, the sibling to sibling. We have opportunities in our vocation and as a family to show God's love and forgiveness and mercy. It's a reflection of God's character. In our church, we have pastor, we have parishioner, we have member to member. We have, if you want to break it down more, member to visitor, however you want to break it down, but we have a relationship with each other. And we can say, this is my church. I take responsibility. I help in what goes on. I help in supporting the financial needs of my congregation as well as part of my vocation as a Christian. In my employment, there's a relationship between employer and employee, and employee and customer. And to live out your vocation, especially as a Christian, to say, I want to serve my customers as unto the Lord. If they get mad at me, if they're crabby, I'm going to try and win them over with God's love as much as I can. In our community, we have relationships with our neighbors. We have those in authority over us and the citizens. We have the different vocations of our life, different areas in which we can share God's love. We can share some of the blessings that God has given to us. In some of those cases, share financially. Parents support their children, and eventually, hopefully, the children will support their parents. And sometimes that's a financial need as well. But that living out of our vocation, our calling, who we are as Christians, but also in our families, in our places of work, in our church, in our community. We're entrusted as stewards or managers of what God has given us. And sometimes that might mean I won't loan something to someone because I know that they're not going to be very responsible with it. But there are some times that I will see a need and I'll say, you know what? I think God would have me share in this way, help in this way, and to be able to use that opportunity, use my wealth, use my resources for the kingdom of God, to serve my neighbor, and hopefully as I have opportunities to share the good news about Jesus with them. And sometimes our crabby, sometimes family members, coworkers, I suppose if I am consistent, fellow members at church, sometimes takes a little patience, doesn't it? But we show forgiveness, we show patience, we show grace because God is gracious and he's been gracious to us. He's given us his forgiveness in Christ, and we can let that spill over as we forgive our neighbors, our family members, others in church, others in our community, seeking an opportunity, not just to do something nice for people, because you know what? Sometimes they'll just say, oh, you know what? You're a good person. And it will stop there. And there's a time that we have to say, you know what? It's not really about me being a good person. It's about what Jesus is doing in my life. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I desire to do things for other people. I want to be kind. I want to show his love in those different situations of life. We're called to be stewards, but we are reminded that those things with which we're entrusted are not to master us, but they're to be used in God's kingdom, to be used for God's glory, to be used to win other people in some cases by providing Bibles or Gideon New Testaments or Christian literature or the Jesus film or Bible translations. Many, many opportunities, many needs around us. And we can either cling to our possessions and say, they're mine, I'm not going to share them with anyone, or we can say, you know what, they're God's, and I want to use them the way God would have me use them. I want to take good care of them whenever I can, but there's a time to share. There's a time to share with those who are in need. There's a time to take advantage of the ministry opportunities that we have as well, to get God's word into people's hands, to help them hear the gospel of Jesus, whether it's here in our community or the communities around the world. God invites us, God calls us to participate in his mission and in his kingdom that will continue forever and ever. Amen.